even if they're into view. But now, it's really interesting. So, I haven't ever given this, I have never had the courage, God, chutzpah, to give this talk before. So this is the first time. So, the bet is to persuade you that mole theory is easy, simple, enjoyable, and incredibly useful. So, even those who have tuned out completely and didn't listen to anything can now listen. Because it's elementary, it's pretty, it's cute, it's nice, there's nothing hard about it, and I have no idea why mole theory has undergone total rejection by everyone forever. Maybe it has something to do with the character of the creator, Jean. Ekal, who's very grumpy. But even though he's very grumpy, his theory is beautiful. And okay, it has also to do with the funny sounding language. But once you get used to the funny sounding language, it's just a very good language, very well adapted to everything. So I'm going to give you kind of an instant introduction to the easy entry part of mole theory. And then, no, I'm going to give you a complete introduction to a lot of mole theory. Part of the mole already is the easy part, and then there will be a mole theory. So, first I have to tell you what a mold is. So I don't know why he chose the word mold, mool, I don't know. But it's something that's very simple. It's a family of functions, AR, for R greater than or equal to zero, where each AR is a function of R commutative variables. So, in particular, zero is just a constant, so you work over a field K. I'm only going to look at rational moles, which means that every AR is in the field of rational functions of these R variables. I can look at polynomial moles, where every R is just a polynomial in the R variables. Right? The constant term of the mold is A0 of the empty set. Often I just drop the number here, because if I write A of U1 or UR, it's understood that I'm in the R part. So I don't always need to write that index. Ari is the space of moles with constant term zero. For everything that I'm going to do from now on, you can think in your mind rational moles. We only ever need rational moles. But Ekal himself uses many more other moles, trigonometric moles, and other interesting moles. For everything I'm going to say today, you can really just keep in mind rational functions, and that's all. So moles with constant term zero. So it's a vector space. You add moles just by adding them in each depth. The R is called the depth. The depth R part of A is the R variable part of A. Pol is what I write when each one is a polynomial. Gary is the set of moles that have constant term 1. With the right group structure and the right Lie algebra structure, Gary will be the exponential of Ari. That's on the other board. We'll get there in a minute. So the G, Ekal systematically puts G in front of things when it's the group version of a Lie algebra something.
So it should be Larry and Gary, of course.
It should be Larry and Gary. Yeah, Larry and Gary, my twins. Okay, you multiply moles. He calls the multiplication mu, but I just put a dot here to multiply two moles. Here's the formula. You multiply for I equals 0 to R, P of U and UI with Q of U, I plus 1 to UR. You have a Lie bracket on moles in Ari. Which is just PQ minus QP. Ari with this Lie bracket is the Lie algebra. Gary with this multiplication is a group. So, nothing to it. Now there's one definition that's a little complicated. I'll soon erase it because I need the board. But the only reason I wrote it here is because if you do take the time to have a quick look, you realize that this makes everything very, very easy to do explicit computations with. This whole formula here makes it very easy to calculate a lot of stuff in 3D algebra. Well, I only ever use the free Lie algebra on two generators, but it's much, much faster than working with non-commutative variables. So, first I'm going to tell you what a flexion is. First I take W. W is a word, it's just the tuple U1, UR, okay? W is just U1, UR. I cut it into three parts A, B, C, so U1, UK, UK plus 1, UL, UL plus 1, UR. And this is simply a notation for a new tuple. C is this here. And C with a little flexion, the kind of calls this a flexion, is just I add up all the parts of B keep on with Z. A with inflection is the same as A up to the last one, but the last one is the last thing of A added up to everybody in B. Now, he defines derivations, so derivations on Ari bracket, this Lie algebra, derivation of this Lie algebra. So for every B in Ari, you get an associated derivation called Amit B. It's the true one, right? Amit B acts on A, it gives you a mold. When I apply that mold to W has to be understood to be U1, UR. I have an explicit calculation here. I break W up into three parts in every possible way. I take A, which you can think of as being a rational function, of U1, UK, comma, this sum of things, dot, 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 to UR. And I take B of just these variables here. So when I say I take B of these variables, it means I take the mold B and I take it in the L depth part of B only is concerned. When B is of a certain length, only that length part of B occurs here. This is an explicit formula. It's a little bit of a pain in the neck to program. You have to break up the word, but it's not hard. It's easy to program, in fact. And then you can calculate very quickly the action of the derivation. It's not easy to show it's a derivation. That's actually quite a long, complicated calculational proof, but okay, it's in the basic text. So the letter M here, M and N, this is Anit, is a very similar formula. M is on the left and N is on the right. It indicates that you have a left hand and a right hand part that you're going to put together. Anit and Anit themselves are not important. They're just simple to define, but they give rise to the really important derivation, which is called Arit. Arit is Amit B of A minus Anit B of A, so left-hand part minus the right-hand part. It kind of came to these definitions not in this order, but rather, Arit is the natural one to define first, and then he worked out that it breaks into two pieces and so forth. Arit is a derivation because these two are. You get a Lie bracket on Ari, a newly bracket different by this formula. Normal bracket AB plus R of B of A minus R of A of B. So hopefully when I get to this point, putting a newly bracket on the same vector space Ari, it should be reminding you that before I put a new, we have a bracket on the vector space Lie XY. Because I'll show you that it should remind you because it is the same thing for polynomial value goals, but much, much, much more general, since this formula has nothing to do with the fact that you take a polynomial and all of these formulas are valid for any mold, not even rational, I mean any mold at all. So a few last concepts.
So, Laila, am I imagining that there is some map from Ari to the free Lie algebra in two generators?
Yeah, of course, which I'm going to talk about in a minute.
The other way?
Lie XY to Ari,
no.
Lie XY to Ari. Because
no.
Ari is much bigger because Lie XY gives them.
Sorry, completed. Expanding power series and do something.
As soon as I get here, I'm going to need to talk about that.
Okay.
And all of the compatibilities with everything that we just saw.
No, but because so far it reads as if you are coding something simple about free Lie algebras in complicated language that sort of might be computationally efficient and sort of efficient in many ways, but hiding what
firstly,
it really is.
Firstly, this language is not complicated.
Okay.
Secondly, I work with rational functions. Everything you'll get from the free Lie algebra is just polynomials. In fact,
completed,
I'm with
completed. I said completed.
But this is completed. Because a mold has an R depth part for every R.
Yeah.
So it's completed.
No, but it's completed in...
Okay, let me just get there.
Never
I'm just going to finish
okay.
with this bit, okay?
Okay.
To any Lie algebra, I have these standard things associated. I can take a pre-Lie law on my Lie algebra. I can take an exponential on my Lie algebra that brings it to a group. The group is going to be Gary. This multiplication is going to be, first let me say what the exponential map is. It's just the obvious thing. 1 over n factorial of the pre-Lie law of a to the n. Gary is a new multiplication that I put on the set of molds with constant term 1, which is just, if I have this mold in Gary and this mold in Gary, I take x plus a Campbell-Hausdorff law, right? It's just like any Lie algebra. This is simply the usual structures associated to any Lie algebra. I put a multiplication on the exponential group. So now I have a group equipped with this multiplication gallery. I have an adjoint action of this group on the Lie algebra itself. The adjoint action is denoted ad, sub Ari. So if I don't need really to give a definition because we know what the adjoint action is, but there are many, many nice good explicit formulas for the adjoint action that are good for computation, and here's one of them. The adjoint action of an element of Gary acting on an element of Ari is the Gary multiplication of the pre-Ari of PQ with the Gary inverse of P. Actually, he wrote this type of formula for everything here. You can just directly program Ari with this type of formula, pre-Ari, X, everything with just this type of formula. Or you can just program these two and then build the others from them. I haven't actually time to see which one is better, but Gary is a very, very complicated formula. It's a pain to program. But it might be actually faster than doing Campbell-Hausdorff. Okay, so I'm almost finished. I'm always alternal. If when you take, for all I, you cut your U1, UR into two pieces and shuffle the two pieces together and add up the terms, you get zero. So this is just like the usual definition of something being alternal. And finally, the very last thing is, I'm also going to consider modes and variables. Instead of UIs, I'm going to consider in variables VIs, just for convenience. There's a useful back and forth. A mode and the VIs are alternal if it satisfies the same thing, but in the VIs. And swappe is a new mold. It's a mold in the VIs, which is determined from A by the simple change of variables that's here. So for every mode A, I define an associated mode swappe. So right now, up to now, this is all we need to know about modes. The main theorem will come up soon, but no further concepts or notation is needed for the main theorem. It's all there, just the statement. Bonnet. So now, I'm going to start answering your question. What's the relation of this with all the stuff that everybody does all the time? So we have a map that, first let me say, let's ci equal add x to the I minus 1 of y li x y. Let li ci, c1, c2, etc. be equal to, I'm just going to call it li c, okay, for simplicity. It's inside li x y. So it's all of the xy. By Lazar elimination theorem, this is all of the xy except the single element x is not there. Everything else is there. So modes don't really reflect the of xy completely, they reflect this guy. Just x alone is not a mold, and one can add it artificially make a mold, but right now I'm not going to bother with that. There exists a map, ma, from q of the ci's. When I write this, I just mean Q adjoint C1 and C2. I'm always using the field K equals Q here, by the way. Two folds. By sending CI1 CIR to minus 1 to I1 plus IR plus R. The sign is just something for convenience. U1 to the I1 minus 1, UR to the IR minus 1. And additively, extending that. So if I write Q0 to be the power series in the CI with constant term 0, I end up in Ari. Q1 is the ones with constant term 1, I end up in Gary. And if I take Li I recall, by the way, this only will ever give me polynomial molds, right? In fact, it's just a translation, right? Just this is an obvious isomorphism. And this is the polynomial molds, which are alternal. I could prove this dilemma, but actually it's really nothing but, this is nothing but a translation of the shuffle property on polynomials, which mean that you're in the Lie algebra. So I don't even prove it.
What do you mean by Q sum zero?
Power series with constant term zero. Power series with constant term. And the constant term of the power series goes to the zero part of the mold, the constant term part of the mold.
So the map backwards is just power series expansion.
The map
there backwards. There is a map from the completed free Lie algebra, sorry, from Gary Ari to the Lie algebra.
Only with the polynomial. Only polynomial mode.
No, because again, use power series expansions.
How do you use power
Taylor's series? Theorem. You no, have functions.
No, no.
Yeah? I don't know. How do you send the mold 1/U1 to power series.
Do you ever get it?
All the time.
Your molds must somehow have some analyticity property at one
my
point.
My molds that I'll be using in the whole theory have rather good poles.
Okay.
Okay, my denominators tend to be U1, UR, and U1 plus UR, but still. And U1, and yeah. U1 squared, also. No.
Okay.
Fundamental necessity of having these denominators. This is interesting because there are so many things you can do with these denominators. For instance, there's a derivation on the Lie algebra which says f goes to, say, xf, okay? If you take a mold, and this is just a little remark, if you take a mold ma f, so it's a polynomial valued mold, it goes to some other mold, which is in fact u1 plus ur times ma f. That's not too hard to prove, I'm just a little dumb. But what's interesting is that this is an operator on molds that you can invert. Because you can take any molds and divide it by this thing.
Yeah.
You can never invert this derivation, it doesn't even mean anything. So you get this huge richness of things you can do with the denominators. The idea of inverting a derivation is...
Is it a morphism of algebras and whatever sum of your...
Okay, so now we get the lemmas. Okay, so I'll erase this part with the reflections here to give the all correspondence with all the stuff we had before. So if P equals ma of P and Q equals ma of Q with PQ in Lie of C, then arit P of Q is ma of D P of Q. Possibly there's a sign there that I maybe minus. Ari PQ is ma of PQ. Pre-Ari PQ is the pre-Lie law on the... Remember I had this algebra L? It was Lie xy equipped with a Poisson bracket, and it has a pre-Lie law. It's this. It has an exponential. It's usually called a twisted Magnus exponential. It belongs to this pre-Lie law. Getting confused. P, Q, P, Q. Anything else? Everything translates. It's just... just a huge generalization of to all molds with denominators with any functions you want of these totally familiar things that we're using all the time when we're working inside here. Maybe these are things we don't even study so much in maybe the situation of L. Although, yeah, Racine. He had x, L equals mt, that is Racine's notation, it's twisted Magnus, and this he called mt, the twisted Magnus group. This is Gary Paul, the Gary multiplication, okay? Everything, the whole mode theory restricted to polynomials is the one that we know, except that it's much, much bigger, so we can do many more things. So now, I'll just define, I'll go back to the swap term. A mold, I'm going to cheat just once in this talk. I'm going to not give you a definition. In the VI is alternil if some small dots. I'm just going to give it to you. It's just a pain in the neck with indices to write the definition, so I'm just going to give it to you in depth too. It's a bit like alternal, but a little more complicated. In depth two, A V1 V2 plus A V2 V1 plus 1 over V1 minus V2 A V1 minus A V2 equals 0. In depth three, depth four, you write down, you have every time you have a stuffle relation with the stuffle of these would be 1, 2, 2, 1, and 1 plus 2. Every time you have a stuffle, you have a little extra term like this that you add up. It's just that we need to write down. But the lemma that we want connecting with our usual situation is if we have our polynomial, then x in Li, then let me not do this. Q, C, then P is alternal if and only if P is actually an Li element. We kind of saw that already. And swap P is alternil if and only if P star satisfies the stuffle. So together, double shuffle is in this language, Ari, or by the map, polynomial, molds which are al, and this means alternal, it's just a short form of, whose swap is alternil. So let me just give the general notation. It kind of has this very useful notation.
Well, before you wrote double shuffle in a group-like fashion, and here it's in Li-like fashion.
No, I didn't write in a group-like fashion. I wrote in a Li-like fashion. Mm-hmm. I wrote delta star of x star equals s star times 1 plus. I even wrote the word Li-like. Let me just give you this notation. Ari on E equals alternal molds with alternil swap. Ari al the same but alternal, okay. And there's a detail that I'm going to avoid mentioning, which is sometimes, well, let me just say it. Actually, this is completely true. You need that the swap should be alternal up to adding a constant, which is something that people who really work with TRT and double shuffle are familiar with. In fact, you have to correct this little correction term. Okay, so up to constant. You add a constant value more, that means, okay? And this is the same, alternal up to constant. Okay? So the nice thing about the notation is that you can keep piling on the indices here with the Ari bracket, that we saw as the same. The notation looks heavy and ugly, but actually it contains everything. There you are. You look at it, you know what it is. You just read off what it is. So even though it looks heavy, there's nothing that you have to remember what it is, because it just says it right there. There's one last detail. It kind of underlines these on one condition. Underlining. Means A of U1 is an even function in depth 1. It's a little condition on the evenness in depth 1, and as is well known, GRT and double shuffle and everything, they're all even in depth one. There are no odd, there are no elements of GRT that start at x n minus 1 y, where n is. This is always even. So this is that, so this is even. N is even. If n is odd, there is no element of GRT or double shuffle that occurs, and so you have to deliberately shut out the odd ones. Okay, so last one then. So this is just a definition. There's nothing to it. It's the same thing. Now I'm going to define. The use of the adjoint action, and the other is a certain mold. So, Eckhard's mold, this mold, he wrote a lot about this mold, pi, it's called, pi. It's the key, it's at the threshold, it's the door, nobody understands. If you don't understand pi, you're shut out of the theory of everything, okay? So it's a very important mold, it has very beautiful properties. It does something, which I'll show you, that turned out to be really important. Now, Eckhard's definition of pi was really hard to understand. You can calculate pi, then write down the first. Pi of empty set is 1, it's in Gary. U1 is 1 over 2 U1. U1, U2 is, I don't remember, U1 minus 2 U2. It's kind of nice to see it explicitly, so maybe it's worth just U1 plus 2 U2 over 12 U1 U2 U1 plus U2, etc. Totally explicit. But the way he constructed it first is really hard to calculate. It also becomes very big rapidly. But then after he retired, which was about a year ago, he discovered a new way to define pi that's incredibly much simpler and very revealing and connects up to what we've been talking about earlier. So I'm going to give you the new way. First, I'll define a mold dupal explicitly. So to define a mold, I have to tell you what function it is in depth R for all R. And so here's the formula. 1 over U1 UR. Bernoulli R over R factorial. And sum with binomial coefficients, so it's linear. Linear over U1 UR. Okay, now he defines PAL. The mold PAL is defined by the following formula.
Sorry, what does it mean? The commas in the denominator, these are products?
What's it? Here in the bottom, sorry, yeah. Just the products are. No commas. Mm-hmm. PAL equals PAL. Oh, dupal of the empty set is 0. Now this might seem weird, but it's actually just a recursive defining formula for pal. Because if you take it to be the constant term is 1, and then you see that knowing the constant term of this and the constant term of this is 0, with just the multiplication law, you obtain the degree 1 term of this. Then you put the degree 1 term in here, and you obtain the degree 2 term of this. And each time that works because the constant term of this is 0. Otherwise, you would get the term, constant term of this times degree 1 term of that, we don't know. But you don't get that term because of the constant term is 0. So this is a recursive defining formula for pi. Now, this mode. It actually is closely related to bare minus b of a, which we were calling t02 earlier. It's not the same as this. There are various things you have to do. There's a transformation of this, which I'll give you in more detail later. For one thing, this is a polynomial mold, and here there's a denominator. No, let me just write it down. In fact, this is mu. This is of gar of dupal where dar of a mold just multiplies the mold by u1 u1. So I have this operator that I call dar that multiplies the mold. It just takes this denominator away, so then when I do dar of this, I just get a polynomial mold, and so I know that it's a power series of two variables, and it's actually just this power series. It's A minus this, actually. There's no A. I'll never, ever get a mold A. I'll never get the element A in any power series from mold, so I have to remove it. Okay, so this result shows that what Eckhart was doing with his PAL, the mold PAL, is very deeply related to all this stuff with the Bernoulli function that we're doing before. I'm going to make that explicit now. So here is his beautiful theorem. Add the adjoint action of this mold PAL. Molds that are alternal, whose swap is alternil, no, this, and maps it to molds that are alternal, whose swap is alternil, as an isomorphism. So this is a really difficult theorem. It involves a lot of very complicated identities concerning the mold PAL that were hard to prove. But he found them, he stated them, he just didn't prove them. But he actually wrote to me the sketch of his idea of how to prove this, and then went, we were trying to fill in all the details. And it's not easy. But it's really, really interesting, because these two symmetries are really different from each other. For a mold to be alternal, we have an alternal swap. For one thing, this is a bigraded space. This is not a bigraded space. It's a complicated double shuffle. Now, one thing is that this space, it's much easier to understand in some ways, this space. And in particular, this space is a Lie algebra under the Lie bracket. So not R. Ari, Ari, Al, Al is a Lie algebra. Therefore, Ari, Ari, of course this is a Lie algebra morphism, right? It's an adjoint action. Of course it preserves the Lie bracket. So we obtain this. It's also a Lie algebra under this bracket. Now, Ari, by the very definition of the Ari bracket, polynomial moles form also a Lie algebra. I haven't thought about it, but I think we need to make this work. So let me just underline. I always have to make sure I take even functions in that form. But what is this intersection here? It's Ari polynomial moles that are alternal with alternil swap under the Ari bracket. That's just yes. So it's a Lie algebra. That's Rachinet's theorem, that the double shuffle algebra is a Lie algebra under the Poisson bracket, okay? I believe it's safe to say that Eckhart proved this long before Rachinet. But on the other hand, he didn't write. There were so many details of the proof of this that were not there. And Rachinet did it, it's completely different. It only works in polynomials. He managed the whole thing staying inside polynomials, very complicated. In this, well, yeah, this is also complicated. But it's part of the big machinery, and then this is just obvious. Okay? So he has this Bernoulli function-like thing that twists the simple symmetry of being alternal with alternal swap into the double shuffle complicated symmetry of alternal with alternal. That's one remark. And the other remark is, well, let me just change this, I'm going to go the other way. The inverse of an adjoint operator is the adjoint of the inverse element. So I just take the inverse of PAL. It goes from Ari al il, but I'm going to restrict it to the polynomials, to Ari. Double shuffle, and it sends it to things that are of this operator algebra, and it's much, much bigger than this, right? It has denominators, power rings, and all kinds of complicated denominators. But I had a graduate student working on this, and he started to study these denominators that appear, and he was able to prove that, in fact, the denominators are not as bad as you might think. Although when you go this way, if you take here a polynomial mode, here you get seriously bad denominators. If you go this way, you start with a polynomial, you get not such bad denominators. And in fact, Ari delta equals the set of moles such that delta of p is a polynomial, where delta of p just multiplies by u1 times ur, u1 plus ur. So in fact, the worst denominators that you ever get when you're going this way is this nice denominator. But still, it prevents you from working with power series. Okay? However, given this result, which is Beaumont's thesis,
and this set of RELL with denominators, is it a Lie algebra?
It's a Lie algebra, also opus of this thesis, yeah. It's not easy to prove. I mean, in this you have to prove this is a Lie algebra, and then Alal is also a Lie algebra, so the attempt is, he proved that this is a Lie algebra. Yeah, and yeah, no, it's hard work, but very elementary, but still hard. Okay. So now, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to compose this map with a multiplication by delta. And then I'm going to land in polynomial. Okay? I'm going to call this delta Alal. These are polynomial moles who, when you divide them by delta, they become Alal. So that's a very, very simple definition. And I was looking at this, I'm saying, this reminds me of something. I should say I. It was really we, because we were in a kind of mini-seminar with Samuel and Pierre, and we're talking about this together. And this resembles double shuffle, but it resembles GRT, because GRT resembles double shuffle, mapping injectively into something polynomial, much bigger, but bigrated. Namely GRTL. So the question occurred, are these things similar? And in particular, we believe that this is made of the GRT part, which we know lands in there now, and the RL part, which we believe looks like B3. So is B3 in there? So the answer is B3 is trivially in here, because everything in B3 is general. Well, first you have to show, well, it's not that trivial. First you have to show it for the epsilon 2i's. They map to the mold ma of the polynomial. Any derivation maps to ma of its value on A. So it's add A to 2i of B. This is a depth 1, it's the mold. Let me call it B, so 2i. It's concentrated only in depth 1, and its value in U1 is U1 to the 2i. And the alternality condition is just empty in depth 1. There is no condition. Anything that's concentrated in depth 1 is alternate by definition, and so is this one. So it doesn't matter whether you multiply by delta or not. Multiplying by delta, delta in depth 1 is just U1 squared. So delta of this is U1 to the 2i plus 2, but it's just as a, or rather, it's divided, actually. The condition for this to be delta al-al is that the mode u1 to the 2i minus 2 has to be al-al, right? It's depth 1, so it is. So trivially, we have GRT maps into double shuffle, and that maps over here, and we have B3 also maps over here. And so that led to the definition. Double shuffle, elliptic, equals RE. Delta. something. When I do this map here, this is not a Lie algebra isomorphism. I can't put the Arie bracket here. I have to change the bracket. This actually transports the Arie bracket to another bracket, so which I call the Arie. So transport by delta is the Arie bracket. It's automatically what you get when you make a Lie algebra. And amazingly, you can prove that GRTL, which is certainly inside DSL as a vector space, like we just saw, is also a Lie algebra. That is injection. Okay, let me be clear. I can't do that. I wish I could, but I can't. What I can do is GRT semi-direct B3. I wish I could write GRT, let me write gamma GRT. This is the section of GRT inside GRTL. I wish I could write this, but we don't know if this is normal. We don't know if it's normal under the action of this. So I've got to take its normalization under the action of this. I believe this is GRTL. I think it's the whole thing, we think. I even believe that this is probably B3, but we don't know. But this at least is a well-defined Lie algebra, and it goes into there. GRTL, here, I don't know. RL is something very difficult to work with. But I want to get back to the diagram that I had at the beginning. Variables, but in order to see the pretty symmetry, you want to divide it by that denominator first. So, I'm going to end now. This is the very last thing I wanted to say. What's the use of this? Why are we happy to have a symmetry like this? First of all, it's important to know alpha plus determines the whole triple, psi alpha plus alpha minus. You can, to know alpha plus, you get back everything else. So, in a sense, GRTL, you can identify the element of GRTL with alpha plus. Alpha minus is determined by alpha plus, and this pair here gives you the derivation. That's the map that's here, okay? And it's the same here. You have a polynomial mold, and it determines the derivation the same way. Okay. So the very last thing I want to talk about is elliptic associators. When we talk about the Drinfeld associator, this is something which is, if we consider mod products, so as to move away from the algebra to the vector space of the dual Lie algebra, if we consider these things mod products, we get an element which is not only in GRT, due to the fact that this satisfies associative relations, tensor Z bar, this is mod products, but it's generic for this in the sense that if we take the basis of this, every element of GRT appears. I'm exaggerating a bit because there's lots of transcendence things we do. Let's say under standard conjectures on multi-zeta values, it's generic for GRT. And that, in my mind, is what an associator should be. It should be generic for the Lie algebra that you're looking at. And I want an associator. I want an element which will play the same role for GRTL. So I'm going to take that element. That element is going to be, this is what? This is just some element of double shuffle. Now I'm going to take the generic element for double shuffle. The generic element for double shuffle is basically the Drinfeld associator. You just have to respect the fact that y goes to minus y, so it's minus 1 to the depth of the word w, theta, w. I don't know which of these is legitimately called phi kz, probably that one, but let me just call it phi kz. I'm just going to take this. I'm going to let c of tau be delta ad ire in Gary of tau acting on the ma of phi kz. I can't stress enough how easy it is to calculate in this situation. It's hard to calculate far in the depth. But as long as you stay in small depth, because the size of things happen, everything is so completely explicit. All of these operations, it's just, I fixed up to depth 6 or 7 or something. I calculate polynomials in that number of variables. I calculate rational functions. All of these operators have explicit formulas. I multiply by the denominator, I get polynomials. It's totally explicit. You can actually work with it and see what you're getting.
Sorry, I lost you for a second. What was C of tau?
It's defined to be this. It's this operator, but instead of being applied to an element of double shuffle, I'm applying it to the generic element of double shuffle, which is the phi kz, just the double shuffle phi kz. Did I write too small?
Where is it? Do you mean this guy is kind of made the log of phi?
No, I reduce coefficients. It is log, but I reduce coefficients by product, so the log is equal to the thing, because all the products are gone.
So you belong to a...
Yeah, I'm working with a vector space of multiple zeta values, mod products, and mod zeta too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How the right hand side depends on how.
Yeah.
No, sorry. There is no forget it. Sorry. Let me call this A0. Mod A0. Okay. Now, yesterday, Benjamin had a construction of something that he called A tau and B tau. That was what he called an elliptic associator, also associated to phi kz. And the way he defined these was G of tau of something called, I don't know, what, A infinity? A plus, I don't remember exactly what you introduced yesterday. Here, he had an operator that really was a function of tau, that really is a power series whose coefficients were iterated integrals of the Kronecker function. Maybe I can do this. Let me do this. I'll write the other thing. You can also write A of tau equals integral, iterated integral of u1z1 uri. And this was ma of A of tau. And you can do it this way if you want to write it directly in mold form. Mm-hmm. And this way you're writing in the power series form. This power series, these power series here, A infinity and B infinity, were constructed using phi kz, but they weren't phi kz. They were something constructed using phi kz. And what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to write C of tau is the same operator G of tau, but applied to az.
So A infinity and B infinity are just renormalizations of the limits at infinity of A of tau and B of tau.
Yeah, but that's if you already have the definition of A of tau and B of tau. But you can also use this as a definition and write these down explicitly.
Okay, so in my work, so I compute this limit of A of tau and B of tau when tau goes to infinity and renormalize it, and then I get this A infinity and B infinity, which are expressed in terms of phi kz. And that's right. What you mean here, yeah?
Yeah, except that you also give the explicit definitions of these in terms of phi kz,
yeah.
And the explicit definition of this. And so yeah. I can use that as a definition of this and this. But this is okay. Okay, but I'm not using this way because I want to take your operator and apply it now to this.
Okay.
Now, what's the advantage of doing this with respect to this? Is that this, by definition, is delta al, because this, his operator, is the exponential of something in GRTL. So it satisfies, it's in DSL, so it itself is delta al, and it's acting on something which is also delta al, and so the result is also delta al. So this, C of tau, is what I would call the elliptic associator. It's generic for GRTL, supposing the standard conjectures that the zetas do what we believe they do. And it also satisfies these double shuffle relations that are the elliptic version of what phi kz double shuffle relations, okay? But it also is close to A of tau in the sense that these three values, they go together, really.
So G of tau is the algebra generic is this derivations delta, right? Delta 2 n.
Yeah.
In B3, yeah?
Yes.
The of B3.
Yes. But with coefficients that are geometric elliptic multiple zeta lines.
Yeah.
So A of tau, B of tau, and C of tau, in some sense, they form a triple that go together. Their coefficients determine the same algebra. Because, just to say it very roughly, they're all made by the same G of tau, whose coefficients are these iterated integrals that he was talking about yesterday, acting on things whose coefficients are just multiple zeta values. The difference is that this element A of zero, it has these symmetries, delta al, whereas these, they probably have some nice symmetries, they have some nice relations, they satisfy, but we don't really understand very well which ones. Okay, so to a large extent we're determining the same thing. We would like to say, I could say much more, but I won't say it. I think I should probably just stop. I'd like to say, C of tau, the coefficient of u1 to the k1, ur to the kr, I'm going to call that E of k1 kr of tau. This is what I would call the elliptic multiple zeta value. These guys are functions of tau. They generate an algebra over k. You want to calculate the structure of this algebra, and the whole point is that the algebra generated by these guys, mod products to make our life simple, is supposed to be the dual of this. Right? This is really what a generic function for a Lie algebra is. It's just like saying phi kz, the coefficients are zetas. If I take the mod products, I get a vector space which is supposed to be, except that we have to have all the transcendence conjectures, GRT 0. Okay, so this is exactly the elliptic generalization of that situation.
You don't fix tau, right? Tau moves.
Tau moves. Tau is a variable. Running over all elliptic curves, really. And to say just the one last sentence, this is the idea. And so the delta LL symmetry, let me say I could just erase this and put in double shuffle, right? They're all conjectures anyway. The LL symmetry satisfied by this reflects the definition of this symmetry by this. But we haven't done any of these calculations yet. The only calculations like this to confirm this kind of thing that have been done haven't been done on C, they've been on an A by Nils Matthes. And he did calculate, letting E now denote the coefficient of A and taking the algebra generated by the coefficients of A, he calculated the dimensions in small weights and confirmed that they really are equal to the dimensions of that. Just for small weights.
Depths,
maybe I should say small depths.
Yeah, so here you have the small problem that we discussed yesterday that this A node belongs to a space where you kill some zeta of 2.
Yeah.
So
that's absolutely.
And then in this E of 2, so in G of 2, so coefficients are complex numbers, so if you kill zeta of 2.
You'll never get anything like this if you don't kill zeta of 2. Because there's no zeta of 2
maybe
in the
shuffle. You have other options. Why don't you take rather than fake AZ? Why, for example, the element of DS which takes fake AZ to its value of minus A minus B. You know, so it's a straight fed element. So.
But why did you work with GRT? Why do you? I mean, this is all your fault, right?
You want a generic element of GRT, if I understand correctly.
Yes, but GRT, GRT is conjecturally equal to what, in terms of multi-zetas? The dual of something, some space of zetas, but what is it? It's the algebra of multi-zetas, the real ones. This is a conjecture, obviously, but still, it's one of our standard conjectures. Mod products and zeta of 2. You have to take it out. Otherwise, because there's nothing to weight 2 in here. So because you're starting to work with GRT, if you want to get something that's dual to it, you have to work mod to it. Everything could grow. It's possible. But since I'm starting with your GRTL, I have to take out the zeta of 2.
Yeah, but still you work with functions. So either you put in formal series or... So if you want to...
We can arm wrestle about that fun secret thing. By the way, I expect you to help me convince him that you could work mud to my back.
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot. Any further questions?
So the question is yes. How about acoustic relations that we could apply? So if you have this other algebra DSL, so this suggests that we have a family of relations between elliptic and MGVs. Yes. So in the same way as we have the shuffle.
Exactly.
So what would these relations be?
These relations, you can write them down. If the relations, the best way to write down what the relations are is to go back to C of T and U1K1, URKR. This is your E, and you want relations between these E's, okay? So you do what you do in the usual, in the Gino Zero case. You simply write down C of T is alternal. And you obtain that these satisfy shuffle. And then you write down swap C of T is alternal. Delta, you divide by delta, you do what you have to. You know.
Yeah, but these E's are not exactly the coefficients of A and B. Yeah? So
no, they're the coefficients of C. So we could try to.
Can you relate them precisely to coefficients of A and B? Or?
The answer to that would be yes, no, and maybe. So I can relate them precisely, except that there's a problem with that news that I showed you yesterday.
Oh.
But not explicit.
Oh.
I can say, yes, they're related because, like, da-da-da. But that doesn't mean you can explicitly relate them yet. No, I don't know. Still, I think it's maybe not that hard to figure out these. But
okay.
I have generate the same. I mean, they generate the same algebra. They're made to. Explicitly to write one in terms of the other, I don't know. But, well, I have two views on this. One is forget A of tau and just calculate the variations and C of tau. The other is maybe we can use a similar approach to find relations on A of tau. Similar mole type. After all, we know a lot about A of tau. We know it's this. We know a lot about G of tau. We know that it's in B3. And we do know something about this. So maybe we can use a similar. We know all about the symmetries of this, and so we know the symmetries of that. If we can just express the symmetries of this, we may also be able to find similar derivations on A of tau.
Any more questions? No. Thanks, Amy.